Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt. Starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is indeed the broadcast for, wow, it's already February the 17th, the year of our Lord, 2016. This is hour one of two, and our goal is incredibly simple. That is to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country, and the traditions of our founding fathers. We're going to have a discussion about that today on the radio, by the way. We believe the checks and balances put in place by our founding fathers. We believe the brilliant Constitution is the answer. We don't need a revolution, but a restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth certainly is in order, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. Pray like Bob Dylan says you're finding a way to serve somebody. Quick recap of yesterday's show, then we'll launch into the news the networks refuse to use for today. We had our guest on, Mr. Kelly Knighting, well-known sumo wrestler, one of the leaders of the Independent American Party. Was Ammon Bundy and company right to take over the Oregon Refuge? Kelly thinks so. Several callers felt like it was the answer as well. We disagree. But here's the beauty. Here's the blessing. This is America, folks, and we have the right to disagree. We have the right to have our own opinions. And we need to be humble enough, educated enough, moral enough to agree to disagree, but be agreeable in doing so. We need to be able to agree or disagree and be appropriate and agreeable in doing so. Okay, we all agree that having respect for all points of view and working together is the ultimate solution. That's how Kelly, Sam, and Kurt ended. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I'm not intending to speak for anybody or put words in anyone's mouth, but Kelly was completely for the takeover. Sam's completely against that. Kurt's kind of in the middle. He sees both sides, and we all kind of see both sides, but Kurt, you know, he's a little bit in the middle. I would say that Kurt really isn't for the takeover, but he totally sees the point. Several callers said, look, we've got to be very careful. Let's not call what they did criminal activity. We want to make sure we help our friends, not hinder them. I agree. At the same time, we need to be very careful. Let me explain why we need to be very careful and explain a little bit about our current situation that may make it different. Had I not been at all involved, it would be very easy for me to say a lot of what I think and what I want to say. But when you're a nationally syndicated talk show host, okay, when you're somewhat of, I don't even know how to say this. When you're somewhat famous, somewhat on the radar, somewhat in harm's way by doing what we do, okay, this is not a statement about how important we are, but it's a statement of reality, then you have a whole lot more responsibility to be careful with what you say. So let me give you an example. We were at the peaceful rally, and we supported it 100% in Burns, Oregon. We were invited to be one of the leading media people from the inside. I'm not saying the only one, but we were certainly one of them. And we rejected that. We said, no, we're not doing that. We're not going in. We won't do it. However, a friend of ours, Pete Santilli, did his best to report and get the inside scoop for everybody, and he got arrested. What's the difference between us and Pete Santilli? And the answer is Pete was willing to go in and report, and we said no because we knew what would happen. Now, I'm not downing Pete or anybody else. What I'm merely saying to you is we have a responsibility to clearly lay out who we are and what we stand for and what we don't. And I don't know if you know, but my picture, Sam Bushman's picture, is probably pasted on more news sites, more stories about, more news coverage regarding the takeover piece than anybody else's, not counting Ammon Bundy or Lavoie Finicum or a couple of those guys. But I'm telling you, the mainstream press intentionally mixed the peaceful rally photos. We were in the lead of the march. Okay, I'm not trying to take more credit for it. I did not plan the event, but I'm just telling you that if you look at that picture, it looks like we were leading the whole thing because we were right out front. And if you put that on top of the takeover footage, which they did liberally, I might add, now it looks like Sam Bushman was involved in the takeover of the refuge. If you're not very careful, the government will run that in front of the courts and say, see, Sam and Kurt were there. They led the effort. They might not have went in because they were chicken at the last minute, but they really believe and support this cause. And therefore, okay, that's what they've done to Pete Santilli, but just in a more extreme way. My point is they're trying to do that to us, and we need to be a little bit like wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. We need to be a little bit careful about how we, okay, you see case after case. There's big stories about Cliven Bundy now. Well, he was at his ranch, but he was armed, and he this, and he that, and he, there's no evidence that, Cliven Bundy was armed at the ranch or anywhere else. Same with Ammon. Okay, this is the problem. They want to frame you, people. They want to frame me. They want to frame Pete Santilli and many others. We need to be smart enough and careful enough not to let them do that. Now, I clearly have stated a gazillion times, and I'll repeat it now, I disagree with the takeover. Or the, and I don't even know what word to use, because what's funny about the critics is they say, don't use the word occupation, Sam. Don't use the word takeover. But they never suggest what words to use. The sit-in? The impasse? What word do you want to use that you're comfortable with, people? I don't care. My goal isn't to wordsmith this. My goal is to talk about reality. I don't support the effort to peacefully walk into the refuge and then tell the sheriff, the chief law enforcement officer in the county, that you will not leave. I don't support going in and changing signs, taking down fences, etc., whatever the case may be. Now, I do support the battle over lands. Some are calling it the Sagebrush Rebellion. Again, I don't like those terms defined by the mainstream press. We need to learn to change our lexicon. Nevertheless, I'm telling you that we need to clearly articulate what we support and what we don't. We need to be willing and able to articulate, and I hope reasonably eloquently, the reasons why we support or stand in opposition to given actions, beliefs, arguments, etc. I am not afraid to die for liberty. I will not give my life on the altar in my opinion of foolish actions, though. And although I love Lavoie Finicum, think he was a great gentleman, think he's right on most things, an incredible family man, I think that their action led to his death. Now, do I think it was their fault for trying to stand up for justice in the American way, trying to stand up for freedom, trying to have a redress of grievance, a due process of law, etc.? No, I don't. I think the government's out of control. I've said that a gazillion times. But I also submit to you that maybe there could have been a better way to go about it. Some say, well, Sam, should we not fight for freedom at all? No, now you're going to the whacked out extremes. Of course we should fight for freedom. All we're discussing is what we think is best to do. As Ammon Bundy wisely asks, what are we to do with the situation we find ourselves in? It's a fair and honest question. Well, if you're one of our callers yesterday, you need to just hammer on the B story all day, every day, 24/7. Tell people get it, stand together, and solve it. And then I say that's not possible. Well, okay, at least 3 minutes every hour, Sam. I don't have 3 minutes every hour that I can spend on any given topic. Why? Because we only do a two-hour radio show, number one. Okay? Number two, if you talk too much about a single subject, we've already talked way too much about Oregon. We've literally covered the story for a month and a half now. And it's taken significant airtime. I believe we cover it because it's worth it, and there's so many aspects to the story, and I believe we have a leadership role to play in terms of helping people know what is healthy and good and right and what may not be the wisest choices, etc., to make. But again, that's based on our opinions and our beliefs. Are we right and everybody else wrong? No. There's 325-plus million Americans that have their own opinions. Well, why is our opinion more important than somebody else's? Frankly, it's not. Except for, I will submit this. We spend significant time studying the documents relating to our Constitution. We study the Founding Fathers and what they stood for and why. We study the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, the biblical texts, and we do our very best to put it into modern reality in terms of constitutional application. I would submit to you that we do more of that than any other talk show hosts on the airwaves. We take more stories and apply constitutional principles to those stories. More understanding, if you will, from the founding fathers or founders' perspectives than anybody else. Not because we're better, but because that's what we choose to be important. We have hammered on one theme for 20-plus years, and that is we must take back the media if we want to change the educational reality in America from indoctrination to true education. And we believe that's the big... We've hammered on it for 20-plus years, and we've done everything within our power to make that happen. When we come back, I've got a couple of comments from listeners that I want to respond to. Break down the news, then we can take your calls, okay? Liberty Roundtable Live on your favorite talk station.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer-rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next-generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com. Or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821. Or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T at LibertyRoundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211 or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
So not only do we believe taking back the media is one of the most important things we can do for the sacred cause of liberty, we've talked about that being in addition to living good, honest, moral lives as families. We've talked about how we need to be a moral and an educated people, and taking back the media directly relates to indoctrination versus education. We had our guest on, Mr. Rob Bliss, yesterday, who talked about this importance of what they're doing here. He talked about House Bill 315 in the state of Utah. It promotes protectionism for commercial beekeepers. He's a commercial beekeeper, but he stands against it, even though it would be in his, quote, short-sighted, immoral best interest to pull the lever in his favor. He believes it's wrong, and he's standing against it. Today, they'll be talking about two bills. Reject Bill 315 and support Bill 115. The choice is clear. Another guy, Lowell Nelson, called in and said, hey, here's what's happening with the Bills. Stand for Bill for 115, reject 315. He's a campaign for liberty guy, a solid American. Okay, we had great education on what's happening with that issue. But I wisely said that issue isn't just about bees or honey. Then we launched into, again, our main theme that we've talked about for 20-plus years on the radio. He who owns the media makes the rules, Sam Bushman. We even talked about that Glenn Beck finally gets it. Media mogul Glenn Beck told an audience that his former employer, Fox News, once told him to stop telling people to pray. Glenn Beck, quote, here's one of the reasons that I left Fox News. I was called into an office on multiple occasions, and I was told, stop talking about God. Stop telling people to pray. Stop praying, because that takes God's focus off the important things like war. Glenn says he remembered a subsequent conversation in which he said he was asked 4 months later, do you realize how many times you mentioned God on the air? He said, you really counted it? He mentioned God 91 times over 120 days. Beck said he wanted to stay with Fox because it was comfortable, but he feared doing so would be losing his soul. I agree with Glenn Beck. He's absolutely nailed it this time. And it goes in nicely to our theme. I literally have created DVDs on this theme. I literally have gone across the country and given presentation after presentation about he who owns the media makes the rules. We talk about the new media taking center stage. If we want to change the narrative, that's what it takes. Now, you can say, well, Sam, why is your opinion more important than Rush's or Glenn Beck's or anybody else? It's not. Let's be candid. I'm not a rock star. It's not. I hope my ideas are very reasoned, very well researched, solidly in the camp of our founding fathers, solidly educational and understandable. I hope to be able to put the discussion on the kitchen table. But I would submit to you this. The reason that Liberty Roundtable, Liberty News Radio, and us taking back the media is so important, we let people on the air that we disagree with. We don't have fake callers. We've literally caught the mainstream press faking callers. If a real caller calls with a concern, they kick you off the air and say your issues are not important, you're an idiot. But yet if they have fake callers making points they want made, making ideas popular that they like and rejecting ideas, then you know what? That's what they do. We don't do that. We put you on the radio, and even if you disagree, we will have a healthy dialogue about our opinions and why. But we provide a forum for that appropriate discussion. Okay? I don't agree with Kelly Knighting. I don't agree with Hammond Pundy on that one piece, that takeover, or that occupation, or that sit-in, or that impasse, or whatever word you want to use, wordsmiths. Find a good word for me, okay? I'm pretty good at it, though. Sit-in and impasse seem most appropriate to me. Nevertheless, I submit to you that we do our very best to allow as many points of view to come to the table as we possibly can. Okay? And that's a big difference. We don't screen our calls. Okay? We don't try to find out everything you want to talk about and then decide if we're going to let you. We don't abort calls like Rush Limbaugh. Okay? We don't do any of those things. And we have candid discussion. Now, believe it or not, I had a guy call me at about 7 o'clock last night on the on-air line, even though we were doing a rebroadcast of our show. And he said, Sam, why do you just use the word, why do you always say founders? I said, well, I don't know what you mean. I believe in our founding fathers. And he said, why don't you use the word founding fathers? Why do you always say founders? And I said, well, I don't really know what you're talking about. I use the terms interchangeably. He says, I like the word founding fathers better than founders. He's right. It's more descriptive. He's right. It's more intelligent to talk about our founding fathers. It shows who they were. But then he says, you know, there's a news story out there where, believe it or not, some cities are trying to get rid of the term founding fathers. And my response is, yeah, I saw that news story. I was going to talk about it. Then they retracted it because they knew it was so ill-advised so fast that we never had a chance to even get to it. But you're right. They're trying to take words out of our lexicon. They're trying to pervert history. They're trying to make you and I terrorists. We've talked about this theme on the radio hundreds of times, thousands. Well, he was trying to make sure that I wasn't saying founders because I was afraid to say founding fathers. Well, I'm willing to say founding fathers anytime, anywhere, any place, and I'm not willing to back away from that whatsoever. Okay, remember, I'm not the guy that's in secret that won't give my name or the guy that calls behind the scenes to talk about this stuff. I'm the guy that goes to Oregon and leads a rally or is in the front of a rally. I'm the guy that clearly tells you I think Ammons Bundy's action was foolish and they're all in jail now. I'm the guy that tells you that I think Pete Santilli, even though his goal was to report, he got too close to it and got burned and now he's in jail. I'm the guy that, okay, I'm not afraid of anything. But I'm also trying to be wise. I will use the term founders and founding fathers interchangeably. At the end of the conversation, he says, you know, we're watching your every move. And frankly, my response to that, I could care less. Okay? If he wants to start his own talk show and he wants to make a big point out of the difference between the founders and the founding fathers, be my guest. On the other hand, I'm going to do my very best to carry forward the mission that Sam and Kurt moved our families over 100 miles to support. We spent well over $120,000 and bought a radio station. I literally sold my nice, nice house and lived in a shack and bought a radio station. Okay, and we've spent literally hundreds of thousands of dollars on the sacred cause of liberty. And we put no less than, at least in my case, and Kurt's is pretty similar, 4 hours a day minimum on liberty every day, 6 days a week. And we've literally hardly been paid a penny for our efforts. And what I mean by that is we've spent far more than we've made. I make my money as an IT guy in the real world of business every day. Kurt makes his money as a dairy herd nutritionist and as a seller online via the web for unique products. He sells honey and more. Okay. We make our living in the real world, folks. We don't do this for fun. We don't do this because we just enjoy spending money faster than we make it. We do this because we believe that the sacred cause of liberty, the efforts of our founding fathers, are you happy? Of our founders, are so brilliant, so important, they laid down their lives, they gave their fortunes, their sacred honor for this sacred cause, and we're not about to turn our backs on their sacred heritage, on our heritage. We're not going to do it. So we do our best. And can you find something where we're not perfect? I'm sure you can. I would say that I understand the Constitution quite well. I would say that I'm not going to pretend I understand it better than anybody else necessarily. But this battle rages on, and it's kind of comical to me how our listeners can be so critical of every move made and so questioning of everything we do. We'll get into it more as the broadcast unfolds. I got a couple of emails from people, but it's almost like they expect me to defend my every word as if somehow they think I need to. I don't need to. I do it because I hope it helps in education and understanding of, you know what? When I say something, it's not just off the cuff and crazy. It's well-researched. You may disagree with the point of view, but you got to admit my point of view is very sound, very logical, very appropriate, very constitutional, very biblical. I could go on and on. All I'm telling you is agree or disagree. You're free to do so. But I submit to you that if you're going to bring up something on the radio, you better be prepared to defend your position. You better be prepared to agree and do so agreeably or disagree and do so agreeably. That's all we ask, and we'll give you time on the radio. Chris is coming up next. He'll chime in. Then I got a couple of emails from some folks that wanted to email, and I'll give you their perspectives in seconds, okay?
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Liberty Roundtable Radio is brought to you by ThePowerMall.com. Do business with the good guys, ThePowerMall.com today. Also brought to you by GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Chris, you're on the radio, sir, from Vegas.
Well, thank you so very, very much, Sam. And I certainly appreciate your soliloquy this morning on those salient points you were bringing to light for the people. And so I thought I'd bring a couple of possible solution words, etymology, the science of word art craft, if you will, to perhaps use in lieu of some of the ones that have been used in the past.
I'm in. Sounds great.
Okay. Well, we know, in fact, you mentioned one of the words earlier. Hammond has suggested that he was connected with higher powers and spirit whenever he made his decision. So he, in fact, suggested he was on a mission, maybe doing God's work. And they went to this abandoned, orphaned, or perhaps severely neglected facility to put out their duty to care for this abused facility, and doing a public service project was what they were originally set out to do. There wasn't any force used when they entered it. I think somebody provided them a key, and they walked in and found the disparaged and disturbed state of the neglected facility has been abused by the former inhabitants. And so this is a really interesting aspect. But we know when we go to court that the pro se executioner, the prosecutor, will create his version of facts. Sometimes it's a false narrative. Sometimes it may be an altered version of the truth. But how we speak about it in the public space is important, because they will eventually cherry-pick those words that they find to be legally advantageous to their version of facts, and they will cherry-pick them like they did that photo of you, the lamestream played upon on their video, made you look like you were leading that soiree, and they will use those particular snippets of facts out of context to create the illusion that you are other or the most malicious picture they can paint of you with their word arts. This is what they do day in and day out. So I think if we give some serious consideration, diligent consideration perhaps, to how we frame these arguments in the public airways, we might minimize the ammunition they have to turn our words as war weapons against us,
I couldn't agree more. In fact, that's why when in some of the articles that I've written and some of our on-the-air discussions, I've used the term impasse rather than standoff, because it was an impasse, right? It wasn't a standoff. When Ammon Bundy's sitting in the middle of a town hall meeting with his cowboy hat on, unarmed, and I don't know that I call that a standoff anywhere. When he's free to go and he's speaking with the sheriff out on the road, he's gone talking to ranchers here and there. He's not even there half the time. It's hard to say he's got this takeover going on or this, you know, occupation happening or this standoff occurring. None of those things are true. And so I tried to use the word impasse as an effort to change the lexicon and to do our very best to carry forward with exactly what you're pointing out and saying. That's why I wisely told Pete Santilli, you know what, you can report on this thing, but I'm telling you, if you get too close to it, they'll take you down too, because they're thugs. They're evil. I'm not defending at all the position of the government and saying that Ammon's wrong and the government's right. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it wasn't the wisest move for Ammon. But yet the government's the one out of line. The only blood spilled, and I've mentioned this multiple times, the only blood spilled is by government. They're the only violent ones. And we've made this point over. And so we got to change the lexicon, Chris. You're right.
Well, I totally agree with you. You know, when you look at what the Bundys and the Hammonds and the militia and even the ones that came in to share that work project with them, they were pretty much had their hearts on their sleeves. They were plain-spoken men that said what they meant and what they said. They weren't word craftsmen, word artsmen, or attorneys like the other side is. But the ones who have really been criminal, in fact, they've committed murder in my observation and done a lot of other really treasonous and scurrilous things, masquerading as militia to stalk the National Guard Armory caught by Chris Briel and tried to aver or to avoid telling the truth to Chris Briel, being plain deceptive. In fact, there's some insinuations that they may not have been true FBI agents, but mere foreign actors masquerading as FBI agents in many of those situations up there. But until we know who we're dealing with, we really can't know the facts. All we can do is speculate, but with a degree of reasonable plausibility, I think we can pretty much figure that America would probably not shoot Americans in cold blood when they had their hands up. All lives matter, not just black lives or not just blue lives. All lives matter. And to murder a man or to shoot him in cold blood when he had his hands up with multiple different shooters and snipers in the woods is a really diabolical, insidious concept here in America.
It is, and then to put forward a narrative that just fuels speculation, to put forward something that no doubt can't give solid answers about the real actions of who, to withhold the names of those who were involved, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, all smacks of a cover-up, all gives rise to concern. Then they want to claim we're conspiracy theorists. My response is not intentionally, but we are doing the best we can to gather the facts with our limited resources against a hostile government. And so it's very hard to get to the truth on a lot of these things. And the real question is, you know, is it better to die for liberty or better to live for liberty? And I would submit to you that it depends on the circumstances involved. And right now I chose not to go in with them and die. I chose to stand for liberty and report from the outside. I spent plenty of money going to Burns in the first place, plenty of money reporting on it in the second place. We've done our best to give the most accurate, fair, honest narrative about what happened there as we possibly can. I think that would be hard to debate that we haven't. I think we've done more so of that than anybody. Even Pete Santilli had maybe closer coverage than we did, but I would submit to you that he also released a lot of things that he probably shouldn't have, and I don't think he intended to, but he may even harm their case because he released some documents too early. He was on the inside and he got statements that they probably don't want on camera now to be used against them. So there's an art form to covering the story well enough to be as factual as you can be. Then there's a point where covering it too close almost does you harm many times. We've tried to walk that line and take that balance as seriously as we possibly can. But the whole point is, whether you use us or anybody else for your media consumption, the fact is we need honest media. We need the new media to take center stage, and we better take back the media if we want the truth. And it'll be case after case like this, Chris and others, that we really need the media. And I'm telling you, they used to be able to lie and get away with it. Now they can't lie like they do. They can still wordsmith and spin stories and put forth false narratives, like put my picture on the takeover stories. That's a lie. It's a blatant misrepresentation. If they keep it up, I will sue them. They better stop, because it isn't true. Nevertheless, we can report the truth. When we've forced their hand in terms of their stories, they can't lie like they used to, because we're in the media. Just imagine if we had 10 times, 100 times, 1,000 times the coverage, Chris.
You're exactly right, Sam. And the truth is that they're on the other night when they had those four people still barricaded in there, whether they were agents, assets, or useful idiots, makes no difference. There were still 15,000 to 20,000 people following that event online. For every one of those that were online, there were probably 2 to 3 or 4 people. That's an immense amount of people with the sunshine of light watching what was going on. That's probably the only thing that kept them alive. If I might shift to the Scalia thing.
By the way, I couldn't agree more. Go ahead, sir.
There's a observation that's starting to come to light on that there were a couple of plane flights just prior to Scalia going to the so-called hunting club, the Huberta facility at Cibolo Ranch. Very suspicious in and of itself. But he apparently had some plane interaction with Obama on a couple of flights that were flying across the country. I would have to speculate that, much like the John Paul Roberts visit to his home, ex parte, meeting in secret in Camara, that they likely had this meeting on the plane, and Obama very plausibly said, "We'll make you an offer you can't refuse," and Scalia may have told him he could put his offer where the sun don't shine. And that may be what put the final nail in his coffin and caused him to have a heart attack, a Mossad-style heart attack, some would observe. And that's why Cinderella, whatever her name was, said he had a heart attack because she had foreknowledge that was the methodology they were going to use. They're always
The problem with this story is the guy was 79 years old. He did have some health problems. You know, there's so many strange twists. No autopsy. This idea that he was doing well, then he went to bed, and all of a sudden he's gone. They say there's very strange timing with relation. They just ruled against Barack on some of this coal power plant stuff, or shutting down some coal power plant, you know, traditional energy production kind of thing. There's a lot of speculation about this, and frankly, I don't know the truth at this point, Chris. I just don't know at all. But your points are well taken. That there's a lot of questions about this. And where it goes, I want to be the guy that holds off and gets it right.
There are no accidents in politics. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. When we come back, I want to get Kurt's take on some of these topics. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. I also want to cover this issue. Some listeners emailed me with their opinions on some of the topics we've been chatting about, too. You want to call in 866-986-6397. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 Moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
You know, I find it a little bit comical, ladies and gentlemen. Most talk show hosts won't even take your calls, don't want to hear what you have to say at all. And if you call on a topic that they don't like, they'll just simply start rejecting your call. We don't do that. And I kind of find it fascinating that if I speak on any given topic, doesn't matter what it is, there's going to be a bunch of listeners out there that are very critical about my viewpoints, narrative, focus, coverage, whatever you want to say, and they always have their criticisms, and I find it fascinating. 99% of the time we agree on something, and they'll pick that 1%, and they'll just spend time on it till the cows come home. I mean, imagine somebody calling me up and saying, Sam, why do you say our founders rather than founding fathers? You know, there's a, you know, they're trying to make laws against founding fathers. Are you falling into that narrative, and or do you carry forward that concern, or are you crazy? I spent 20 plus years on the radio defending our founding fathers, defending our framers of the Constitution, defending those who gave their lives for liberty, defending them. I've stood up for them for 20 plus years, as solid as you can get. I'm not going to say more so than anybody else. I'm not in a contest with anybody, but wow, you're really going to call me up and say, why do you say our founders rather than founding fathers? Kurt, you need to use the word founding fathers more, my friend.
I gotcha.
You're not really getting it, you know. And I agree with this point that founding fathers is more descriptive.
Mm-hmm.
But I think referring to our framers or our founders is just as credible and valuable and true. I don't know. I use them both interchangeably is my response.
Well, that's a good response.
All right, what's your response? Are you,
you know, it's interesting, at least on this whole, who's on what side and who says what should have happened or whatever. You know, especially with regard to the whole Oregon thing. You know, in my opinion, each person has to make those choices themselves, and it's really hard for me to speak for somebody else. I don't, like, for example, I don't know exactly how you feel or what you're prompted by your God or your inner feelings, Sam. I mean, I try to listen to those for myself. I really have a hard time speaking for others because simply I feel like I'm not, you know, supposed to tell them what to do. Guy like Ammon, you know, I'm sure that he made the choices that he felt were, incumbent upon his actions, that he's felt that these are things he must do. And each of us, each listener, I'm sure, they do their best under those circumstances. At least we would hope that's the case. And when it comes to, am I for the sit-in or stand-in or whatever, you know, I'm for trying to fix basically anything that's ever wrong. And there sure seems to be a lot of places to fix as we've said before, a target-rich environment. I mean, you can take the tax system, you can take the school system, you can take our money system, you can just keep going down the list, and it's, I mean, you'll find so much work that you'll never be able to finish it all off.
In fact, I don't like the words we used. Rather than do any of that work, I think we should just fight about the words that you used, Kurt, because I think you should have done it this way. You see, that's the problem with the Patriot movement that I see.
Yeah, and, you know, at least everything that we see, at least in, you know, your opinion and mine, I think we're in agreement about the whole media thing in many ways, simply because without that, you pretty much have no voice. Now, it's true you could stand outside on your street corner and, you know, hope that somebody else can hear you. But, you know, with the technologies of today, we can participate, and we could, and I underline that, I guess, you know, in a big way, with the help of many of these listeners, with just, you know, I mean, you've said in the past we had, say, 30,000 unique visitors to the website. If those people put a dollar in a month, it would change our world in many ways. I mean, we could literally, the first radio station you bought, Sam, was $120,000. That means that with those 30,000 people putting a dollar in a month, in 4 months we could do another one.
If people were to do a dollar a day, we could buy one in 4 days, Kurt.
Oh, yeah. You know, and, you know, the bottom line is we do try to present solutions that certainly if we had more radio stations, then even a guy like White Rose or any Pete or whoever else wants to present his ideas would have more people to hear him, and certainly more people that could decide to, you know, support that kind of thing. But apparently people think that there's still other ways that are better, and that's why we don't get 30,000 people sending in a dollar a month.
Well, and they're free to think that if they choose to. I mean, I'm not saying that we have a handle on what's perfect, and if you go against us, you don't even know and you don't have a clue. And, you know, I'm not saying that either. I'm just saying this is our efforts. This is why, see, the problem with the media, Kurt, is, believe it or not, for someone to have the knowledge to put all the pieces in place to make it happen without big money is impossible. Okay, it's a very rare person that actually has the skill set to make it happen. Mm-hmm. Okay, how many networks do you know that are out there that tell the truth? As far as I can tell, you got basically Liberty News Radio, you got Republic Broadcasting, you got Genesis Radio Network or Genesis Communications, and then you've got several other smaller or unique groups. Many of them are very good, but there might be 5, 10, 15 of us at best. And then all of a sudden it's just controlled by the big mainstream press in some form or another. Why is that? Because it's very hard to put all the pieces in place to put together a quality production talk show. It's difficult.
Yes.
Okay, people don't have the skill set to make that happen. I'm not telling you I'm important. I just happen to have skills that have been in the right areas. Through my life, I developed the skills in the right areas to be able to pull all this together. That's why we can do it cheaper than anybody else can. Because it means Sam's time is free. Relatively free, right? I mean, and I'm not trying to take credit for it, but I'm making a point. It's easy to get together a little blog talk show, you know, or something like that. Or it's easy to get, but to get together a real radio production that has, you know, a quality audio and everything else that can be syndicated on radio stations to do all these things, that's very, very tough to do. It takes a lot of time, it takes money, and it takes skill that most people just don't have. And so we believe we're uniquely set up to do this. When we bought a radio station, Kurt, believe it or not, it was, we believe in this cause so much, we're going to buy it not having a clue what we were doing. How many people are willing to sell a house they own, tell their wife you're going to live in a shack now, honey, and I'm going to take all this money and I'm going to buy something that I don't even know how to run? How many people could get that past their wife, and how many people could get that and then con a friend into, or a friend con me into, it was both of us, and tell our wives, hey, honey, we're going to move you 100 miles to focus on a venture that we have no idea what we're doing. I'm just telling you, it's crazy talk, right? We actually went and did it. We're that
crazy. I guess
crazy.
You could say it almost sounds like the occupation, as they call it, you know, of the refuge, even though it's not that we were doing that. I mean, it was certainly legal and that kind of thing. But, you know, many would have questioned our sanity. I think, you know, some did.
Well, and people have actually called me and said, Sam, you think you're smart, but you're really stupid. Well, they're probably right. I mean, who on earth would sell their house, put $120,000 in a radio station they don't even know how to run, and then have their wife and little family move there and then con their buddies into doing the same thing? I don't know if Kurt was conning me or if I was conning Kurt. We were both kind of in it together, but we had to con our wives into it for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And our wives were kind of like,
they did it willingly because they had to, right?
No? Kind of.
They did. Yeah.
I'm hesitant to say that on the radio. They certainly were thinking it was not a very good idea, but they trusted enough to go along with our vision and our view.
It was nice of them.
They did believe in liberty enough to where they were willing to do that. They were concerned about their family and their financial well-being and their, you know, women like to have a place to be and a home. And they weren't really excited about being uprooted, but they did believe in us and believe in what we were doing, and they were willing.
Yeah, it was pretty nice of.
And all I'm telling you is that how many people would go and do that? The goal isn't to tell you that we're awesome. The goal is to tell you that we've certainly...
I thought that was the goal, that we were going to tell them that we're awesome.
We're just incredible,
Yeah, I mean, because I like that.
Hey, there's not a talk show host better. I mean, there's no one more eloquent, right? kind of stuff. No, all I'm just trying to illustrate that we've literally been baptized by fire in the Liberty Movement. We've really put our money where our mouth is. We've really dedicated our time, our talents, our efforts to this cause. It's kind of fascinating to me. No matter what we say, no matter what we do, you get 1,000 patriots that agree with us on 99 out of 100 things, and then on that one thing, they're like, hey, man, we got to take away all your airtime and focus on this one thing. I'm not sure why you talked about our founders. You got to be talking about the founding fathers, man. What are you afraid of?
Mm-hmm.
Or they're like, hey, man, I can't believe you're Ammon's enemy. You're throwing him under the bus. Oh, yeah? I think I gave more airtime to Ammon than anybody else, period, in this world. At my expense. That's hardly throwing a good friend under the bus. We can disagree, folks. That doesn't mean I'm throwing anybody under the bus. Now we're trying to figure out how to raise money to help Ammon with True Defense so justice can be heard. All right, hour one of the can. Hour two coming up, libertyroundtable.com, republicbroadcasting.org, libertynewsradio.com, thepowermall.com. Right? All right. We're making a difference, folks. Give me libertyfund.com. Help us with the solutions today, will you? This nation shall endure.